I'll give you some time to get there. Luke chapter 17. It's the third book in the New Testament. Well, I just gotta float. I just gotta flow. Thank you, God. Thank you. First Lady, I just want to say honor to you. And I appreciate you. You know, not oftentimes I get a chance to honor my wife. You know, in some cases I, you know, I do, but you know, we're talking about appreciation, because we need to teach men how to love upon their wife. We need to teach men how to respect and honor their wives, because you wouldn't be as far as you are without that person being behind you. I'm gonna be honest with you. I wouldn't be where I am had she not pushed me and told me we need to get this together. Because I was resisting the start of ministry. Honestly, I didn't want the burden of it. Because I understand it ain't just it's not a business. But most pastors do. They look at this as a business, but it's the burden because you got to carry souls. You got to carry the burdens of other people, and you feel certain things that nobody can relate to. And there's some times when I feel alone. A lot of times, and more often times, when I feel like I'm in my own journey. But the thing is, God is isolating me, but yet still making me feel part of. But sometimes he have to separate you from the masses in order to do a work in you. Because as long as you're around a crowd all the time, you're busy, but you're busy doing nothing. And so there are times where sometimes I may feel alone. And some people say, well, you know, Pastor, you don't have many friends. It's a reason why. Because not everybody can go on this journey that I'm going on. Amen. And so it is a sacrifice when you pastor, and it ain't always fun. I would honestly say it's rewarding, but it's not always fun.
Amen.
And but I'm fulfilled in doing what I'm doing. Understand that too. So anyway, as I was saying, men, you need to make sure that you appreciate the wife that you have. And if you don't have one and you believe in God for one, then start preparing now. How are you going to appreciate when she do come in your life? Because here's men are hunters, you know, by nature. And oftentimes when you get them, you forget what you did to pursue them. Because you get comfortable.
That's our part.
You get real comfortable on who you have in your home next to you. It's easy. I mean, sometimes you have to reflect, man, where would I be? I know so I know some men is squinching now. Because here's the thing. If you just got offended by your wife, man, you might want to repent because your blessing is going to be held up how you treat her. Oh, why did I walk down that? I can feel people now pushing back at me. Yeah, I know it by the spirit because men don't act right all the time. They don't know how to treat that flower. And so when that flower closes, it's hard for her to open back up because you're suffocating her. But then you want the rewards from her. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all want the good package. And so listen, man, you can't go and treat her all kind of way by the end of the night. Now all of a sudden you want to be sweet.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Work while it's day. I don't know why I'm going here. For when night cometh, man, nobody can work. I know it don't mean anything, but what I'm saying to you, don't go treating her any kind of way during the day. And then when night come, when nightfalls come, you want some respect. No, you ain't getting no respect, sis, brother. You're not gonna get no respect like that.
Amen.
Man, y'all got me somewhere else. I don't know what I'm doing here. Just let me be free. Can I? Can I? Can I just? Can I? Can I? Can I just be free a little bit here? Shucks, man. First lady trying to push it because she loves reward. She loves. See, what I do know is that she needs the validation too. But you got to know your wife. Her body language is that she needs to be affirmed, and I understand that about her. And so that's why I used to always tell her, don't worry about people, get delivered from them, because you don't need people to tell you who you are and who you're not.
Amen.
And I want to tell my beautiful queens that, but you don't need no man to tell you how beautiful you look. Just know, look in the mirror that you are beautiful. And so don't let that predicate how the last man treated you on based on how you look. He just didn't know your worth.
There you go.
That's the issue. And so some woman was like, I can't understand why he can't see me, because God didn't put it in him for him to see you like that. And so the prize is there, but they don't know the prize is there because you meant for someone else. Man, oh man. Man, oh man. Oh God, where am I over here today? Yeah, yeah, yeah. God want to set you up so you can meet your nice Boaz. You don't have to, parade yourself or feel like you have to settle for no man. No man. Don't let no man make you feel like you got to do something that you owe them something because they took you out to dinner. Your stuff comes with a better price than that, sweets. And so I got to give a little vocal because people don't want to talk about this in the church. They're afraid to talk about these kind of things. But we have to understand that you know, we can't just keep pressing women and making them feel like they just a piece of whatever. They're not. By all means, they're not. And I'm, you know, we have to think about men, all the things we used to do in our past, how we paraded ourselves and slept with all these different women. You just went ahead and had all these soul ties. And so what happens is when you start messing with all these women when you were single, you expecting your wife to do the things that those women did.
Yeah.
You got the wrong picture. And so now you understand why God told the men to save themselves until you could, because then you didn't have an option or choice to know the difference.
Amen.
So it's okay, men, to spare yourself and not to be whoremongering and going around feeling like you got to fornicate and get things done. No, man, just save yourself. It's worth it. It's worth the wait. I know sometimes it gets a little tough, but it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Don't get caught up in how men should have this and that. Or you know, because back in the days, men used to talk about, man, when the last time you had any? And they get the lying on themselves, talking about, yeah, I just had some last week. No, you didn't, buddy. You know you didn't. And so the thing is, and man, look, man, it's okay not to have none.
Yeah.
When you understand the purpose behind it.
There you go. Yeah.
Come on. I don't know. Somebody needs to hear that. Because if I want some strong men, I need some leaders, man. As we go to the next phase and the next level, we need some men that's pillars who's going to be able to stand for something. Amen? And so when people walk up around you, they know, man, we ain't got no flip-flop men walking around us. We got some strong men who loves God and got purpose and understand why they've been created on this earth. Man, I don't know. I feel like the men is getting it hard today. But that's okay, because that means he's trying to strengthen us to make sure that we are leading our people right.
Yes.
We got to be leaders, man, not followers.
Yes,
but followers of good leaders.
Yes.
Amen. So I need an example before me of what a husband should look like.
Yes,
so you don't go messing around with any old Bob down the street. Because he took you to Applebee's. He loves me. No, just because he took you somewhere, that's two for two, two for 22. That ain't worth it. Shoot, man. Man, if you're going to do right, man, up the price, up the ante. Take me to Ruth Chris somewhere. Take me somewhere where it has a five-course meal where the plate is at least $100. Don't play with me, man. Shucks, man. Hallelujah, man. Man, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm doing here. But I tell you, man, we shoo, Lord have mercy, man. We just need to get free and be able to learn. So if you're not married yet, then learn how to start treating her or whoever you with. So you are making an example of what she could look forward to. You know what I mean? Then she has something to look forward to. Now, here's the thing. If you got a false representative and you're going to stop all of a sudden because she said, I do, that's going to be wrong on you.
Yes, sir.
Because just as the way you got her, you can lose her. And it's so sad because the churches today, the rates of divorce is extremely high. But they supposed to know better. They supposed to know this word. All of a sudden, you got your misrepresenting. You misrepresenting yourself for 6-8 months. Now you get a, be the same. Be consistent.
Yes, sir.
Be consistent. Show her that this is not just no false representation. This is who I am. Now, it's okay to evolve as you get older and you start to evolve because people do evolve. things that you used to like when you were dating, you're not going to like when you get married. It's not that I'm changing, I'm just evolving. My taste buds is changing. Hallelujah. And so, men, be prepared to learn that woman's body language. Learn her love languages, rather. Understand what she like, what she don't like. Don't take it upon yourself that you feel like you're going to do something because you like it. She may not like it. And you got to be okay with that. Women tell, I don't like that. Be okay. Communicate from the jump. So you ain't got time to waste no games.
Amen.
Especially when you know you got purpose on your life. I don't got time to be playing games. I ain't got to be time to playing around with boyfriend and girlfriend and all this and parading myself around. No, man, I need to live holy.
Yes.
Ah, man, oh, man. Where did I go here? Why? But some men need to hear this, but some women who's getting ready to find themselves with their husband, they need to hear this as well. Because the thing is, if we're going to set an example, I need to make sure First Lady and I, we got to be an example of what a marriage should look like. Yeah. There's no perfect marriage. Yeah. Understand this too. You're going to go to some disagreements. You're going to have some things that's going to be said and things before, but just don't go to bed angry. As best you can, you might have said something that was out the way. You better work your way back into that, because what God going to do is like, don't you forget what I brought you from, sir.
Amen.
Let me go to Luke and let me get myself in trouble, because we what time is it? Lord have mercy. I feel like my time is already up. Women's like, no, keep talking, Pastor. Keep talking about that man. I need to make sure. Keep talking. But don't get up from this, because I just finished saying some things. Now, verse 11. I ain't going to be very long. I'm going to get through this here. Verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Hope you're getting this. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, as he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? God, man, it's embarrassing. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And let me just revisit this verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. And as he entered a village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, stood afar off. I want to talk to you from a message. You stood afar off. However, now watch this now, because leprosy was a thing where you was considered unclean, unholy, meaning you had to separate yourself from your community. You had to separate yourself from your family. You had to separate, you pretty much was marginalized. You was an outcast. So therefore, you felt a certain way. And so most times when people are dealing with certain things, they tend to be around people who's dealing with the same thing too, because you have something in common. And so these 10 leopards, they found themselves isolated from their loved ones and their community, because in those days, if you wasn't cleansed, you had to be separated. Until you was cleansed, you had to go and visit a priest, and he had to make sure you were cleansed. And if you wasn't cleansed, you go back the 7 days. So each day it was a reoccurring each 7 day period. If you wasn't cleansed, you had to be outcast. So these 10 men, they were going through for this leprosy for X amount of time. The Bible does not tell us how long they was going through this event. But Jesus was coming through. Man, oh man. And so it's good news to understand that when you have this type of disease, you can't get close to people. In fact, if you did, you would be found, you would be judged to be stoned. And so these 10 men were in a certain village as Jesus was leaving Samaria and going through Galilee. But he went to a certain village. So it can tell me a lot about the story, even though the Bible doesn't specifically describe, but you can tell these men were crying out. Their prayers was going up. But it's a matter of the fact that their prayers are going up, but they don't know when the answer or the solution should come to pass. But you're praying and you're rejoicing and you're praising until you get that breakthrough. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, rejoice. And everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Man. And so we don't know how long these leopard men was praising and rejoicing in spite of the difficulty, in spite of being isolated from their family. Maybe these men needed this situation, because who knows? Maybe they became less appreciative to their family. Maybe they was least appreciative to their spouse. Maybe sometimes we get big-headed and we get too big for our britches. So sometimes God will allow you to experience certain difficulty. So make sure you be mindful where he brought you from. We don't know the backstory of these 10 lepers, but I guarantee you something down the lines on the back end of things, they experienced something while they was in this situation. But then Jesus comes through. You notice now, he was going through the outskirts. It seems to me that Jesus met them at their need. Because they couldn't get too close to him, they cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, will you help me? Because you can't get too close. Now, it's not like Jesus was afraid of leprosy, because even in Matthew chapter 14, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 14, he healed a leopard man, one man. And he asked the same question, will you heal me? And he says, yeah, I will heal you. Go see your priest. I just got finished telling you, each time you get healed or get cleansed, Jesus did not disrespect the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I come that the law may be fulfilled. And just in case you don't know what abolish mean, meaning I ain't come to throw away. But I come that it might be fulfilled. So each time Jesus dealt with leprosy, he always sent them to the priest. Jesus didn't about he didn't care about he didn't care about breaking policy, but he also needed to follow the rules. Because let's go over here real quick. Let's go to Exodus real quick. I mean, rather, let's go to Leviticus chapter 1. Chapter 14, verse 1, rather. I'll give you some time to get there. Just let me know. Stick your thumbs up. Let me know. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. For the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought to the priest. Now, you know that was the Old Testament. Jesus didn't knock away the Old Testament. He reverted them back to the law that God gave Moses. Even though Jesus knew he was cleansed, but he said, go ahead and see the priest. But the problem was, Jesus is like, wait a minute, didn't I heal 10? Why is only one? Faith wasn't the option, the problem here. It was being inconsiderate. That was the problem. Wasn't being thankful. That was a problem. Because their faith brought Jesus into the region. But their inconsideration, they didn't return to say thank you. And so that's what holds us up, that you are where you are because of your faith. But I feel like some of you have gotten, you're not as grateful as you used to be. Your edge is off. You ain't where you were when you first received Jesus. And that's why when you are given your life and your first time with Jesus, you have this zeal about you. Don't let that zeal go, because sometimes as you go along the way, you start getting a big headed because God is doing certain things and you forgot what he's done for you. This one man decided that I'm going to come back when he found out. But here's the kicker to this. He told them, go sit. They wasn't healed until they was leaving. Many times that anybody come in contact with Jesus, they was healed just like that. Or if not like that, within the same self hour. But did Jesus spoke to them from a distance? Go see, he didn't say they were healed. He said, go see the priest, which means their healing was in the obedience.
Yes, sir.
Judge, man. And think about this. So as they went, the Bible says, as they went, they was cleansed. That's why it's so important to listen to God, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Because I never forget, and I'm going to bring this up more often times so I can get this through to you. When the Lord told me to start looking for houses when we were still in New Jersey, we didn't have the jobs because we already had quit them. But he said, look for them. See, that's obedient. So what that means is that I gave God license and permission to start operating on the house in Atlanta, Georgia. Because he said, look for. Well, wait a minute, God, I don't have no job. I don't even have a place over there. You want me to look for a house? See, it doesn't make sense. But Jesus told the 10 lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. It don't make sense because really, why would I go and sell myself to the priest when I've still got leper on me? I already know he gonna condemn me and tell me another 7 days. But Jesus already told them, you are cleansed. He didn't say you cleansed. He says, go show yourself to the priest. It doesn't make sense. Those numbers, those words just don't add up. That's how we have to be. We have to be out of our mind when we're serving God because it ain't gonna make sense. 1 + 1 is not gonna always equal 2 when you're walking with this God that you serve. He's gonna tell you to do certain things that you, it's gonna be very bizarre, but you just do it. Like Nike, just do it. And you're gonna find that check mark right up on that test grade. And I mean, those are the things that we used to get when we was check marks in school. But God was telling the 10 men, he says, go and show yourself to the priest. But the problem is, I want to highlight is why only one returned. And the thing is, the Bible described that these people, that the man that showed back up, showed himself up, he was a Samaritan. They were known to be a foreigner, a people who was disgraced. And so then that tells me, was the 9 the Israelites, but did not want to give God no praise? And that's why I don't want to get caught up in people who've been serving the Lord for X amount of years in the church, X amount of years. Man, why is it that the person who comes behind the scenes out of nowhere get to go and go further than the people who've been sitting in that church pew? That's why I love the new people, boy. I'm telling you, if y'all don't be careful, these new people going to come right behind and blow past you. All of a sudden, you're going to be like, well, how did they get? Because it was something they did. They gratified. Their gratitude to God was utmost respect. Don't get the blessing from God. All of a sudden, you want to turn your back. Don't get your promotions. Don't get your raises. Don't get your increase. Don't get your new bride. Don't get your new spouse. And then you forget about who God is. Come back and say, God, thank you. Because if it had not been for you, I would have none of this. Hallelujah. So many people, they desperate when they first come because they don't have nothing. So there's no obstacles. There's no interferences. But as they start getting certain things, they start moving away from God. Slowly. And you don't even know that you're doing it because it creeps up on you. You are blinded when you're moving further and further away. Before you know it, you got a good distance. You're going to find yourself as the person that's afar off crying out to the Lord all over again. So, man, it ain't by happenstance that I had to minister to you in the beginning, because when he getting ready to do some things for you, you can't forget. Don't forget what the Lord that God is showing you, what he's doing for you and what he's doing through you. Don't take it for granted, because it doesn't take long to take things for granted. I mean, sometimes I'm thankful that the Lord reminds me where he brought me from time to time. Because if he doesn't, man, I don't know, because you can't just keep yourself. It's the Holy Spirit, the God of the Holy Spirit, have to keep you and sustain you to make sure you where you need to be. Don't forget, brother, where you used to be hungry. Now you full. Don't get, praise me. Give me thanks. Hallelujah. I have to nearly serve him like I'm just serving him for the first time in my life. I mean, really, I have to keep an edge on me because I don't want that fire to go out. I don't want nobody to come by me and blow my fire out. So I got to keep it lit. I got to keep it lit as much as possible to make sure that I'm staying on a straight and narrow. So therefore, I have to hold my own selves accountable to make sure that I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what God has done in these last couple of years. God is doing a great, quick work in these last 4 years since I've been in Atlanta. He's been treating me well. Oh, man, he treating me, and it's just getting started. We scratching the surface. Man, we about to help hold on to the plentiful. We about to, man, we coming up some stuff in the year three. I'm telling you, we going to scratch some heads and be like, I don't believe that I'm, no, just believe it. Because God don't deal with the timetable like man do. You ain't got to be on this job for 3 months to receive your benefits. Just serve him. Day one, God says, I'll move quickly on your behalf.
Yeah.
I would open doors that no man can open. Just walk with me. I will make provisions for you. You will not be hungry. God Almighty. I'm talking to somebody. You shall be full. You shall walk in your plentiful. If you walk with God, I'm telling you, it don't make sense. I'm telling you, the numbers don't add up. That's why when I tell people, you need to start giving. The money don't make sense. Your seed doesn't make sense, but he would open some doors for you. He would open some doors for you. He would open opportunities for you. You'd be wondering, how am I getting certain things? Because you obeying his voice.
Yes.
You got some friends that you grew up with. They suffering, trying to hire you what you are. They didn't expect you to be, because you weren't supposed to make it. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. You weren't even supposed to be here.
Ooh, Jesus. Come on.
Based on where you come from and the neighborhoods you grew up in, you ain't supposed to be alive. How many times you can count where you've been in situations where you felt like your life was just flashing before you, but then come the angel. And God sent the angel to deliver you out of that situation. How did you get out? Because God got purpose for you, child.
Yeah.
That's how I made it out.
Yes.
That's how you gonna make it out. If you ever find yourself in a rut, in a situation, just keep in mind what he did for you last year. How about 2 years ago? That's too far. How about 2 weeks ago? How about yesterday? Some of you knew you wouldn't, you didn't even know if you were going to be able to make it to church. Oh, yeah. And then you got some people barely had gas in their car. They don't even know. They're trying to squeeze in. How am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? God says, just trust me, man. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I direct your path.
Yeah.
Man, oh Lord, have mercy. People forget, man, because they're doing very well for themselves. And don't forget about anything God do. Everything he gives you, give him thanks.
Amen.
It, let me tell you something. God is so wonderful. You can't even keep up the thankfulness because he's doing too much right before you. It's gonna be a point in your life that you ain't gonna be able to keep up to say, God, thank you for this and thank you for that. Just say one word, thank you. That will solidify all the things he's done for you.
Thank you.
He knows when you're appreciating him or not. And so sometimes we got to get a wake-up call. So these 10 men, the 9 men, had to get a wake-up call. That's why they found themselves in those predicaments, those situations where they found themselves being plagued with leprosy. Had to be separated from their loved ones. So you don't know what you got until you lose it.
Amen.
When you lose it, you become more appreciative.
Yes, sir.
Then you'll start to re-understand, oh man, what I have is treasure. Yes, it is. Men, understand what you have is treasure. You just need to treat it as such. You know, I'm going to talk to my man. I got to get back to this, man. You holding your own prosperity back. Look, when the Bible says when a man found a wife, he found a good thing, he obtained favor, she's the favor. And if you understand how to treat that wife and properly treat her, God will open up all kinds of financial freedom for you, all kinds of financial favors for you. He would open up some things that you don't even know you can even think could be open. Just let, you know, I mean, you got to get to your point. God, ask yourself, am I doing right? Am I where you want me to be today? Am I just in church because it's the right thing to do? Am I here for you? Am I here? Am I here because I love you? And if I don't love you, help me learn you so I could love you. Put me around a pastor and a first lady who's going to be an example, who's going to trigger me, who's going to hold me accountable and tell me right from wrong and won't care just because you give or don't give. I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, because you know, you got people like, well, I'm going to give them so I can oozy up. Don't oozy up to me, oozy up to God. Right? Come on now. Because you got so many people. Let me just show the pastor what I can do and how much I can give. I'm going to still treat you the same way. I have no respect of a person. Shucks, man. I tell you the truth. When you're wrong, you wrong. When you're right, you right. And I got to tell some of y'all, sometimes you just wrong. Yeah. Hallelujah. People get quiet when you start talking about this, boy. Because they'll tell me about my blessing, man. Tell me, keep on about the promotion and tell me my credit score getting ready to go up, Pastor. Tell me that 2 weeks down the line, a house getting ready to open up for me. Man, I'm telling you, be grateful and thankful for where you are now. And maybe God will just open up some doors for you right now. Maybe God just opened up the right kind of doors, put you right, the right kind of, around the right kind of people so he can give you some favor. He want to pour some favor on some of you right now. God says, I got some stuff that I'm holding up, man. I just need you to be in the right mindset to receive it.
See.
I'm holding up some stuff from some people. I'm doing it because you know what happens is when God bless you too much, you end up losing your soul. Because people don't realize money drives people away. They change. They don't realize. God says, I ain't giving you the money to act a fool. That money is coming with an assignment. I need you to understand that you are valuable and I'm trusting you and I'm giving it to you. Now, what you going to do with it? People losing touch, man. People are losing touch. They forget the Lord has healed their body last year. They forget the Lord touched their mind last year. They forget the Lord opened up some doors and opened up a job and opened up opportunities. They forgot. So you compromise and you settle. Shucks, man. You know, I know I told y'all last week in the Bible study, you know, and I had to repent. And I said, there was a time one day, a couple months ago, you know, my wife brought me something to eat. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't want that. Yeah, but see, it was wrong on my end because there was a time when I didn't have no choice. So here's the thing. All of a sudden, I forget where I come from. So thank God he corrected me because see, if he didn't, well, watch this. God didn't correct me right on the spot. 3 months later. God, why you didn't tell me this sooner? Because sometimes you can appreciate how long he would let you go. Some of you, he letting you go for months and months and you doing some things wrong, but you don't even know yourself. And it was the very same day after I said that, here she brought me some more food, but I appreciate it. While I looked at her, I said, oh yeah, I'm not going. No, I'm not. God, thank you. Appreciate this, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We got to learn to appreciate God better than we have to. Honestly, I want you to understand this message is really about appreciating and being grateful. Because when you do that, he's ready to do more for you. Don't despise small beginnings. That's why I ain't worrying about because we having church at the house right now, because we ain't going to be here much longer. And I don't mean man's timetable. I mean on God's timetable.
Yeah.
We're going to be in a healthy place, a place where people could come and feel loved. People could say, I got a place to serve the Lord. People are going to come to a place. I've never been a part of a place like this where I feel loved and my gifts. It makes room for me so I can be able to put it on display. That's why we opening up doors where we can have a cook service in there, because we ain't going to just have no traditional church. We're going to have our building, and we're going to have a state-of-the-art kitchen, and we're going to have our food truck. What else are we going to keep having? Each time I keep opening my mouth, I just know we're going to just going to keep. Let me tell you, I was talking to a minister friend of mine. I was just telling him and sharing with him some of the things that God is doing. He said, Pastor, he said, years ago, I used to always tell you, all you have to do is open your mouth. It's in your mouth. And this is when the time when I didn't have anything. He was always telling me, this is the same gentleman, this shirt that he designed. He was always telling me, he said, oh, you God got, you know, you favorite, you finicky though. He said, you a finicky somebody. And I started to think about this and I said, well, wait a minute. Why would I be finicky when I was lacking? Because God said, I don't want you to settle for just anything. And it's a difference now. I want to get this straight, because some people feel like you can just take anything. No. You be grateful for everything, but don't settle for everything. And so if I was finicky in my lack days, why would I be finicky in my full days? No, I'm not going to settle for nothing. And so I had to honestly think about that. It's a thin line here. So you got to understand. He said, you were finicky back then. He said, but I used to always tell you, open your mouth. You got everything you need. And so he was praising God when I was on the phone with him last week. And I'm telling him, man, the kind of things that's happening. He said, man, I'm telling you, man, I always told you, Pat. He said, you got a pure anointing. He said, I don't meet too many people like you. You got a pure anointing. He said, one thing I just want to remind you, and I know you're not going to get there. Just don't preach your messages about prosperity only. If you give that word, people will mind giving. And sure enough, we don't preach prosperity, but people giving. Yeah, that's why this church will never lack. I said it I'm saying it with conviction. This church would never lack. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I care about souls. I care about God's people. And I don't let this, if you can't give, you think I'm gonna love you less? No. Because I know one day, if your heart is right, God will touch you where you can start to give. And then you will know the goodness of your Father, what he always had for you from day one. I know sometimes people be like, why you saved me at 48 years old or 50 years old or 38 years old? Why you took so long to save me? Because God says, I wanted you to go through all of what you went through, get all that scoundrelous stuff out your body. So by the time you get to me, you will be willing and able to serve me. Amen. Amen. Let us go into Father God, we thank you. We're going to go into our communion service very shortly. Dr. Ray, you can start preparing to come up here. Father God, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm praying for that dying soul right now. That soul that's still crying out, but too afraid to say, yeah, Lord, I need change. Father God, I thank you right now. I praise you for the new souls that's coming. I praise you for the new souls that's coming. Souls that's just going to come saying, God, what must I do to be saved? God, I thank you for changing my life. I thank you for setting me free. People can get healed without me even speaking about healing.
Yeah.
Because God is just good like that. Your body can be made whole just right now under the sound of my voice, because God is just good like that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God, I thank you for healing that weary soul. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And guys, y'all, I know you saw the three ways we can give. You saw it on the screen. We have three ways you can give. Divine Contact Ministries. Well, let me break it up. DCM514 at our Venmo, at our Cash App, and then we have our .net, DivineContactMinistries.net, where you can give that way. So we have three ways to give. Sow a seed as the Lord placed it upon your heart. Don't hold back. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You don't have time to hold back. Not now. God said, I want you to be free. He wants you to be free. Some of you, if you bound, sometimes, man, you just gotta like, I'm, some of you are like in a cocoon. I'm breaking out of this. I am not gonna stay the same. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait till we have our next meeting on the board, man, so we can see what else we need to do next. Man, I'm telling you, I'm looking for more ways to give. Man, Lord have mercy. Look, man, I'm going to tell you something. It was last week. I think that was probably our most gross week of the whole month of October. Out of the whole year, October was our largest week. I'm telling you, God is like, I'm getting ready to set up some shops now, man. I mean, we're going to get that food. We're going to get that church. We're going to get it all.
Yeah.
We're going to give everything God has for us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Ray so we can go into our communion service. God bless you. May the Lord smile upon you, and I'll be back shortly after. Matter of fact, you could just pray them out, and I'll just be good with that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.